go over Romans 12, but before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your generous and abundant grace towards us sinners, Lord God, that you would call us your own. To you be glory and honor. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity to share each other's burdens and to come along each side each other, to just encourage each other, Lord. I pray that you would bless our study here, Lord, and that you would be glorified in all we do and all we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I went over, I think, six of the gifts, and someone had asked if I go over the gift of serving and ministry. Let me find it here. And mercy. Yes, thank you so much, Eric. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put them together. I'll go over each, put them together, because I understand that you're going to start a ministry of mercy. So actually, it works out pretty good that we didn't go over as well as we did or should have last week. So service and ministry are, I would say, they're synonyms. It has to do with being a deacon, and sometimes we define deacon specifically as one who serves tables. And ideally, that is part of what they do, but it's so much broader than that. The apostles actually was so busy teaching the word, instructing, encouraging, and building and planting churches that they decided that they're going to take seven men and make them deacons to take care of the widows, the orphans, and to extend mercy to people that were in need. So that was their specific task. And I think it's taken on a little different role today, but back when the church was first founded, that's what they did. I find that sometimes deacons today are more like administrative type positions. But it has to do, again, with the merciful service to others. Ministry can also be sharing the gospel. I mean, ultimately, that's what we want when we do minister to people, or we serve people as gifted individuals in the church. It's all about the gospel. It's all about pointing to Christ, being Christ-like, and loving God and loving your neighbor. Those are probably the two most important things that I've got out of this particular chapter. So we go now to service. There's different types of service or ministry. We can say we minister the word. We use minister as a pastor or an elder, someone who under shepherds. But ministering is actually anticipating somebody else's needs in Christ, whether it be temporal or spiritual, coming alongside them, encouraging them. So it's the act of mercy when we do that. Mercy. It's funny, my notes have seemed to groan since last week. I have more pages, so that's a good thing. Mercy, I like this. It's a divine required attitude, man to man. We cry out to God for mercy often. I like it because it has the word mercy in the Old Testament and New Testament has a lot to do with the grace that God extends towards us in salvation. It's not just being kind to someone, being decent, buying someone a meal. It has a lot to do with that salvific grace extended to us. So I thought that was pretty neat the way mercy, we've narrowed it down to be specific, but it's such a broad term. Constantly, God have mercy on me, save my soul. So when we think of mercy, think of God's grace towards others. It's undeserved, it's unmerited. But when we do see someone in need, we need to identify that, and we provide for them what their needs are. We meet them right there where they need to, where their needs are. There's I think it was verse 17. It talks about providing for others' needs. And the word provide is you anticipate their needs and you have something prepared beforehand to offer and help them with. I thought that was really interesting. It's almost like foresight. You actually you know exactly what they need and you anticipate that need. So with providing for someone, it doesn't mean you see it, but you actually took the time to prepare for it. I thought that was really great, the way God used that particular word in this chapter. So when we, I'm looking for something specific. So we can say that the ministry of mercy, I like to think of it as serving grace. Everything that we do in the church with our gifts, we serve and we help others. So ministry of mercy is serving grace. I just like that whole analogy of the sitting at the table and serving someone, and we're serving grace to someone. It's the kindness of God that's extended to us in salvation. And we should be extending that type of salvation, salvific grace to other people in the mercy that we provide. So it's really interesting how it just all laid out and how God put this together, this particular chapter. I'd said earlier, it's three verses that talk about the gifts, and the rest of the chapter talks about God's loving kindness towards us and our loving kindness towards others. So love God, love your neighbor. I know I talked about that last week, but I'm gonna keep on hitting that because that is key in the whole chapter. All right. So I'm gonna talk about chapters 14 through 21. Talk about loving your enemies. Don't take vengeance. And I'm gonna tie it back to the ministry of mercy. Okay, it's really important to understand that we don't just extend mercy to those within the congregation, those that we know, but more so to our enemies. So when we do extend mercy to people, we want God to extend that same saving grace to them as he did to us. All right, so I'm going to read chapter 12, 14 to 21. So bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what does that have to do with the ministry of mercy? Anybody? I love the crickets. I had a hard time thinking about that myself. But the first portion, it just talks about loving the brethren, just like Christ loved us. And then Paul writes about the gifts. I thought this was so interesting that he puts this here. And he goes outside the church now. I mean, sometimes the sheep bite each other. I understand that. But I think it's talking about the church and the community outside. And Matthew 5 came to mind. And all I can hear was Jesus saying, bless them, for they know not what they do. When he was on the cross. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 8. That's what comes to mind with more than conquerors. Darkness cannot push out darkness. Only light. Only light. And the goodness that Paul is speaking about is the goodness of Christ and the salvation of God giving his only begotten Son. This is the goodness he's talking about. It's not just being nice to people. Good morning. How are you? Doing good. Open a door. He's talking about the goodness of extending grace to someone that's undeserving like I. I think that's very, very key to understanding exactly what Paul is saying. He's saying go out and share the gospel. People treat you bad. They treat you evil. They talk about you. You be nice. And I don't mean nice in a moral, ethical way, which is important. We should be nice. But I'm talking about being Christ-like when we're good to people. And being a New Yorker, you know what it's like. People just, the road rage and stuff like that. And we don't know why they're raging. So we need to also think about why someone might be road raging. I know Scott probably deals with that all the time with road rage. But I do too, being a truck driver. So what I've learned, what it means to be good as far as that's concerned is to, oh, God bless them. Maybe they just found out something happened to a family member. They're on the way to someone's deathbed or something like that. So I try to think that way. This is the renewing of our mind, which is in verse 1 and 2. And how to be good, how to be Christ-like, how to extend that generous grace to others. Verse 15 is rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. I mean, that's a gut-wrenching crying. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that, but it's really hard. We lose the loved one, and you weep tremendously over them. And then we have rejoicing. You know, some people in the church are engaged. They're getting married, births, anniversaries. I mean, it's a great time to rejoice. Look what God has done, you know, how great he is and how he provides. So we rejoice. We just, someone got a new job, tickled pink, we're happy. You know, we rejoice in that. We praise God. We pray. We sing spiritual songs. And it's an awesome thing that we can do that. We can rejoice in that, you know. And when someone utilizes their gifts, again, we can rejoice in that. So, and that ties back to the ministry of mercy. We can rejoice in that God has given us a heart to do that. We rejoice in that. And then we weep with those who weep. Someone that's been crushed by an event in life, we come alongside them. So sometimes ministry is not necessarily financial, though it is. It's not necessarily providing food, though it is. But I think the underlying foundation is always pointing to Christ. Christ always says, feed the hungry, take care of them. I mean, how important it is to take care of our own family and the brethren. And then when we extend that out to other people, we can rejoice because God has graciously provided that for them through us, and we get to be a part of that. To me, that's just incredible that he does that. We get to share the gospel with people. We rejoice in that, and we weep when we see someone converted in a good way. It's a very good weeping that all the angels would sing over that. So weeping's not always a bad thing. It's a good thing. Someone you've been praying for 10 years, 15 years, all of a sudden, boom, they get saved, and you weep, you cry. You know, a soul's been plucked out of hell. And it's an awesome thing. So weeping's not always sadness. So even though sometimes it is. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimations. Goes back to the beginning. I have a chiastic structure of how this is put together. And he's coming to the end. He's closing things up, but he's also going back to the beginning of the chapter and says, don't forget I said this, don't be haughty in mind. When we're haughty in mind, it may come out as arrogant, overconfidence, I'm better than you. And boy, oh boy, that's very slippery ground to think that we're better than somebody else. And in reality, we are not. So when we extend the ministry of mercy to people, we're extended to beggars. just like us, sinners just like us. But for whatever reason, God has saved us. And that's just incredible. And to extend that mercy out to someone, there can be no haughtiness in that at all, because we don't understand what salvation is and what grace is if we have any haughtiness in us. It's a gift that we've been given to serve. And there's no pride in that. It's humbling to serve. And if we have any other way of thinking about that within the Christian body, or even when we serve the people that are not saved, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray about that. So, yes.
Do you have what love do you have about people if you think of the center of the attack?
It could be. Let me take a look. Is over others with diligence if one does not act in acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So the hearty is actually at the bottom, and then at the top would be verse 3. I can show you that later if you like. It's pretty neat. The center is 10. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. I like that, anticipate. So Lawrence's question, what is the center verse of that chapter? Anticipate the needs of others. That's what Christ did for us. I'm going to go out of the chapter. That's what Christ did for us. He anticipated our need. You go back to Genesis 3, and the curse is there, but in the middle of the curse is the promise. The promised seed, God anticipates, if you will. We in time, not in God's covenant of redemption between the Trinity, but in time we can see how God anticipates. All right, we were talking about that on Tuesday night, the sovereignty of God. There were some issues on how that works out. We perceive what's going on, but God decrees what goes on. So our perception of things might be a little different. So think about what Peter says. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So remember who we are. We're priests in the temple of God. So as we think about that and how we anticipate people's needs, is a heartfelt Christian gift that God generously gives us to be Christ-like, to be transformed into Christ, is what he says in the beginning of the chapter. Not conformed to the world, but transformed. So those are the acts of mercy that we can extend towards others and anticipate that. Now, even something as, you know, you're in someone's home and you can see they need milk, so next time you come, you'll bring a gallon of milk. Sometimes we look at that and like, that's not really, you know, we're looking for the grand mercy. We're looking for the big thing, you know, and that's not it. That's not what Christianity is. It's the little details. It's the small things that add up to what Christianity really is. Christ took care of the big thing. He said it's finished, it's done. He anticipated that. He knew exactly what we needed. He knew we needed to be redeemed. He purposely came to earth incarnate and did what he did and accomplished our salvation. So when we look at the anticipation, look at it that way. How has Christ anticipated our needs? In his providence, you pray, you know, whether it's for spiritual needs or it's family needs. Maybe you need an extra paycheck that week. Things are a little tight. And God lines it up long before you even start praying. He's already got it done. He's got it taken care of. God answers prayer. So we generously offer our mercy towards others. And we anticipate that. And God's already lining everything up. And it's amazing how he does it. And we think about, where is God in that? How does God do that? I think that we need to keep that on our minds as we go through our day. We may get slowed down in our deliveries or in our work, or you get stuck at a light, and providentially God keeps you from being somewhere you don't need to be in an accident. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I stopped at the side of the road at a truck stop, and I never stop at that. And I get back in the truck with a cup of coffee in my hands, and 10 minutes up the road there's a horrific accident. And I recognize every car that's in it. I says, wow, I was just there. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, God have mercy on them. It's not about me. Oh, thanks for saving me. Thanks for the cup of coffee. And it's always other orientated. So it may sound like I'm repeating myself a little bit in different ways, but I really want to drive this home in how we show mercy when we pray. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thanks for me. You know, God's not Santa Claus. So there's a reason why he provides mercy that way and keeps me from being hurt or keeps anyone from being hurt. So it's that type of mercy. So when you guys begin the ministry of mercy, keep that in mind. It's not just a financial number, though it's good, and that's maybe your intent, which is fine. But just think about how you apply your gift in mercy and how that benefits the church and not me, because me-ism today is just rampant. I mean, everyone's got a selfie, everyone's got a this, everyone's got a that, so it's not about me. I like that in Westminster. What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus, everything. So I'm going to never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. I grew up in the streets, and we didn't live by that rule. And we paid back. And by God's gracious mercy, He saved. So what do we pay back? If we're not supposed to pay back evil for evil, what do we pay back? What do we give? And again, it goes back to the ministry of mercy. We give Christ. We share Christ. We pray for them. And I don't know about you guys, but it's hard. It's hard sometimes. It's sobering sometimes because I know my heart. And whew, thank you, Jesus, that He can actually change us and make us like Him, be transformed. It's amazing that we can offer prayers to someone that really hurts us, you know, whether it's, you know, a family, you know, siblings, parents, grandparents. And how easy it is to hurt someone with our words. I mean, we can't take them back. We can't take them back. So to repay with evil is just, look what Jesus did. I think of it that way. I keep on going. Keep on going to the cross. What we deserved. How we cursed Him. How I cursed Him. And He just lovingly dies for me in that substitutionary atonement. That's how God repays our evil. That is incredible, guys. He repays our evil. He pays us with salvation. If I could say pay. I know a good Calvinist, I don't want to use that term. But it's awesome. You know, you pay, you're kind to them. You generously extend mercy to them. You share the gospel with them. Sometimes people don't want to hear it, and I totally understand that. And you pray for them. And that's not the caveat at the end of the lesson. You pray for them first. You pray, Lord, how should I share the gospel with them? How can I show mercy to them? They're showing me evil. Because I used to do that. You extended grace to me when I was evil. We need to remember that, who we are. You know, sometimes we all, oh, I'm a Christian. And yeah, that's true. We're sinners. That's who we are. And we're saved by grace. God's mercy extended to us. So when we want to repay evil, just think about where we should be and how we should suffer. And yet Christ suffers for us and He repays us with that. So just when you get aggravated on the highway or you get aggravated with your kids or whatever that might be, and you feel like you want to pay somebody back, boy, this is a whole lot better than being in hell. It really is. So, welcome home. Welcome home. All right. 18. Interesting verse. If possible. So far, it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. There's my out. I knew I can get mad. I knew I can get angry, if possible. It has to do with the declaration of truth. Don't compromise the gospel at all for the sake of peace. There's no peace in compromising the gospel, not at all. When we compromise the gospel, souls are at stake. It's up to God to save, but it's up to us as individuals to share the gospel with loving kindness. This is how we can repay the evil. Sometimes the evil that we get is what we deserve. But that's not what he's talking about here. So share the gospel, but don't compromise it. Lovingly share it. Sometimes you want to be staunch and very strict with that, but lovingly and graciously extend that to others. We should all be doing that. I like using the term, I'm looking for lost family members when I'm sharing the gospel. I don't know who God's going to save, but I know who I'm looking for. So as you extend that, remember that. That's incredible that God allows us to share the gospel with people. That's by the preaching of the word that he saves some. And he uses someone like me, like you. If we have that humility and that merciful grace to others, it's going to be great. It's going to be easy to do because we're doing it in Christ. And at the same time, he's transforming us while we're sharing the gospel. And it's just incredibly awesome. I mean, I get really excited when I can talk to someone about the gospel, and it's usually over time with people because I spend about 10, 15 minutes a day with certain customers, maybe twice a week, three times a week. But if I can get something in there and plant the seed, I don't know what's going to happen, even when they're mad. So, all right. Excuse me. Never take your own vengeance. Beloved. I like he puts that in there. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. We were talking about patience this morning. I'm like, oh, Lord, give them vengeance, you know. Give them what they deserve, you know. And it's, be merciful, Lord, and save them. Be compassionate. It's hard to do. I mean, we read it like, okay, check, 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 check. I got that piece of cake. Boom. The Lord got it down pat. Righteous. Good. I'm good to go. The Lord comes back and just pounds me sometimes. And I think the grace of God, how he poured vengeance on his son. That's hard to do. I couldn't give my son up like that. He pours it all on Jesus, every bit of it. I'm like, wow. Wow. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That's awesome that he would do that for us and save us that way. Verse 20, if he's hungry, give him something to eat. He's thirsty, give him a drink. So in my flesh, I hope he jokes on it. That's how we think. Come on now. Really. That's how we think. In the flesh. Christ gets some nasty vinegar water, whatever was that, gall, whatever it was. Nasty stuff. He gets that to drink. Don't even offer him a decent cup of water. Jesus says, you feed one of these, you fed me. It's a hard attitude, guys. I know you know it, but I want to just make it very plain and simple to us. Hello, Lawrence. Yes. Go ahead.
Not doing.
intently and intentionally and personally, like looking at that person and knowing what they need. You know what I mean? Their father's looking at them like, as an image of God.
Yeah, so. Ministry of mercy. Ministry of mercy. It's awesome that we could do that. So what you're saying is I'm providing. You're anticipating something beforehand. And you can see that the guy is thirsty. I mean, everyone gets thirsty. But you're caring for the individual, even though they may be treating you bad. They're pounding all kinds of evil and, hey, crazy Christian, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're a nut job. Jesus, yeah, whatever. And you're nice to them. You're compassionate towards them. That's funny. I was thinking about the verse. It's not even the archangel Michael, while judiciously arguing over the body of Moses dead, bring a railing accusation against Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you. That heartfelt attitude needs to be in us. Oh, God, have mercy on their soul. Save them. We need to step away and allow God to work on them. Might be a brother in Christ soon. We don't know that. And then we pour these heaps of coals on the head. Because I think it has to do with the conscience. When you're really nice to somebody, you're like, hey, no matter what I do to you, you're nice. I can't stand you. It happens at work all the time. I'm sure it happens in your life too. It's amazing. Christianity is upside down compared to the world. Well, the world's upside down. We've been made right side up. I think that's incredible that God has done that for us. So, and then verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It can happen. It can happen. Our prayer life, I was looking at this, our prayer life is the number one priority. If you're just praying at dinner, like I used to do, need a personal checkup with Christ. You need to really think about your prayer life. It's probably the most important thing. Being in Christ and being saved by salvation, if we are not speaking, and more importantly, listening and seeing, like Pastor talked about last week in John 9. Come talk to me about your prayer life. If you're not praying, you got to pray all the time, constantly. Pray without ceasing is what I'm thinking about. But I don't know. My prayer life is getting a little better, but it's hard. It really is hard to pray. I start praying. I'm driving down the road in the truck, and I start praying, and then I forget about praying. And I get involved with, I got to go here, I got to go there. And like, oh, I was praying. I got to get back to it. But it's hard to pray, you know? So God knows we're busy in life. He understands that. But how's your prayer life? Okay? It's really important. That's what when I read verse 21, I see it. Don't be overcome by evil. It's easy to become overcome by evil. When you're about your day, someone bothers the heck out of you and just rub you the wrong way. Just pray. Just pray. Don't be overcome by evil. But it's the same thing with that light metaphor I said before. Only light gets rid of darkness. So pray, pray, and just keep on praying. So we got about 10 minutes. Is that? I can't see the time. Is that right? 9:40. Got about 5-7 minutes. Thank you. Are there any questions about what I've talked about? Any insights? I know you got something. But I wanted to show you in in Romans 12, the practical application of the first 11 chapters. Okay? Now that you learned all this, you got all this great theology and, you know, whew, good stuff. It's probably one of the best theological books in the Bible. Now that you know all that, what do you do with it? And I say it that way because what are you doing? What are you doing with the gift that God's given you? I mean, Ted said last week, well, what about those who are not sure of their gift? You need to pray. Pray, read the Bible, seek godly counsel, and use your gift, whatever that might be. Whatever it is. Because you're really good at it. You're really good at it. And God will give you that measure of grace and faith to accomplish that gift. God never gives us gifts and expects us to do it on our own. I think that's when we get haughty. Or think we can do it on our own. So utilize that gift. Think about it. You probably, you know, hey, my gift is fill in the blank. You know what it is already. Just do it. It's that simple. Okay, guys? Just do it. You don't need to get permission to use your gift. Whatever that gift may be. You want to serve. You want to minister. You want to teach. Teach the people right around you. You don't have to have a title, official title, stand up here. Teach. Come along somebody, alongside somebody that you work with. Be merciful to them. Give them a drink of water. We have a gift. Please utilize it. The church won't function right without us all using our gifts. If we're all the same gift, it would be weird. You know, everyone has a purpose. Everyone is part of the body here. So please, I encourage you to utilize your gift. So prayerfully consider what that is and use it. It's that simple of a matter. I was talking about that last week. It's that simple. And yet it's that profound because God has graciously given us that wonderful gift to serve each other. So that's it. Anybody have any questions or insights? So I know you just came back from Florida. You drove your camper up. So you had plenty of time to, with the crazy driving. So I guess you could, in wrapping up, I mean, you don't necessarily have to answer the question. How do we deal with that? How does the specific gift that God is giving us applied in that when somebody cuts you off or you get stuck in the door. You think they're opening it for you. Get stuck in the door. Someone says something, and you're like, wow, that's, you know, they misinterpret your intent, your actions. How do you apply your gift or the gifts? How do you do that? Think about it. How do you do it? Pray about it. It's praying. That's probably the first thing you do. That is definitely the first thing you pray. Lord, grant me the mercy and the grace to deal with it, because I want vengeance. It's true. You know, God already knows our hearts. He knows exactly how we're thinking, what we're thinking. So, you know, he doesn't, you know, all of a sudden he just found out. He knows. He knows it before it even happens. He's just incredible that he can do that. So think about that. Utilize your gift. And that's it. So let's pray, and then we'll wrap it up. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your generous grace in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the gifts that you give your people for the edification of your church, for your glory. To you be glory and honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.